Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to New Life Live. I hope you had one absolutely amazing Christmas. And we are just thrilled to get to be with you here today. Joining me is Chris Williams. Chris, hi.
Yes, good to be here.
Chris puts the Chris and Christmas every year at his home.
And, I bring the Chris and Christmas.
And Dr. Sherry Keffer puts the care in hers. And
nice. So, I like
nice.
That.
Nice.
And
Thank
we
you.
Are we're grateful that you're here with us. Hope you had a great time. And here's what we're grateful for: all of the people who were able to celebrate Christmas together, because maybe they stumbled onto some kind of new life event. Maybe they came. Maybe they dealt with some things that had never been dealt with before. That's what we love. We get the Christmas cards, we get the stories, and every one of you that supports us, we hope you feel part of every one of those stories, because you know, that's what we're all about. And you know, this whole week we've been, rather than going over all the people that died this past year, which a lot of folks do, you know, and that's nice to respect people that died, we've also talked about the people whose reputations died, but we're trying to just take a look at the folks that didn't die, but they started living maybe for the first time. They have stories of transformation, and we love every one of them. I've told people many times that, you know, this is New Life's 30th anniversary in 2018, and this neighbor moved in, and it was not too long before she was talking about this treatment center she went to, this eating disorder hospital in the desert in Wickenburg, Arizona. And, of course, she was talking about Ramuda Ranch that was run by New Life, and she had benefited from it. Everywhere we go, people's lives have been changed, and we've all benefited getting to hear those stories.
I know, I love it. I was thinking about a show we did on Christmas yesterday, Steve. You were talking about hope. Mm-hmm. And love that four-letter word. And I thought about how here we at New Life really do transform people's lives from help to hope.
Yeah.
And just changing that one letter and makes all the difference. I think of you and I and Chris were on a call, I think it was about a month ago, with a guy by the name of John, who actually went through every man's battle. And he had been lying to his wife about an affair he had had. And it wasn't until he went to that weekend and got safe within a community of other men that he faced his lie and faced what he was doing in his own home and started to make some major changes. Mm-hmm. And he called in, and you know what was so blew me away? He used his first name and last name. He said, "Hi, my name is John Rellos." Mm. And I thought, we've transformed a name.
Yeah.
He could have been a Dear John, but now he's out there able to say, "Yeah, I blew it. I was a guy who was living with a secret life and no more. Now I can walk in who God named me to be and my strength."
Walk in his true self and freedom. I got a call on a Wednesday from a pastor who had just a real great guy in his church in a horrible affair. He got on the plane, this guy got on the plane the next day, flew to an everyman's battle. And you talked about this yesterday, Steve. I'll say this really quickly. Christmas is radically different this year. And 2018 will be radically different in this guy's life, in his wife's life, in the church's life, because this Christian leader got the help he needed.
That's so awesome.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
If you can help us here, we've got a $40,000 matching gift that will double whatever you can help us with at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Hey, let me read something. Dear Steve, now is the time. Today is the day to do what I have to do. I must confess that I've been getting a free ride of wonderful advice for some time now. Your response and godly counsel to many trouble call-ins has helped me tremendously in my role as an 83-year-old widow, trying to encourage and guide my two adult daughters, my 11 grandchildren, and yes, even my 10 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Through the many challenges, good and bad, in today's culture when many families are falling apart. Through thick and thin, God has seen us through many difficult situations, and we are so blessed. Please forgive me for waiting so long to say thank you for your ministry, and here is my first-time love gift.
Oh,
God, fantastic.
Bless. You know, Steve, wow. Life is not in waiting for the storm to pass, but in learning to dance in the rain. I've been dancing a long time. Peace to you. Okay, favorite letter. Thank you, Colleen.
That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. That's what we'll read some more of those. But right now, let's go to the phones, and let's talk with Emily from Springfield, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, guys.
Hey,
Hi, Emily. What's going on?
I have a question. I've got a toddler who's 2.5. And he is probably like most toddlers. He's really willful and really sweet. And so far, we've just used...
I laugh because that was just this morning, that was my experience with my toddler.
Oh, there you go. I thought you were going to say your teenager, because sometimes I can't tell the difference.
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening?
He's responded really well to discipline, like timeouts, and we always talk about why he was in a timeout when he's done. I make him say it, and he can say it. He will. And he'll say sorry. Sometimes I'll say, you know, you'll say it when you're ready, and he will. Sometimes even 10 minutes later say, sorry, Mom. And so I do feel like he is really sensitive and willing to be a big boy. But just this week in doing some Christmas shopping, he has been showing me that he's not big enough to walk in a store. Like, I have to either hold him, and sometimes that's hard, like going to the post office, hold him and pay. But today he dashed out of the post office. I mean, just tore out. And fortunately, there was another door, and there was the mail room, and he was in there. But, you know, you can't run away from me. And he did it again a later time. And so I'm thinking we need to have, and I know my husband's on board, a more serious punishment. And we're thinking spanking, but I want to be really cautious, and I want to do it the right way. And not do it in a way that'll scar all of us. So I wanted your advice today.
Okay. Well, Chris, you want to jump in here first?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. One, I thought I was a parenting expert until I had my own. It's very, very humbling. And you're telling me a story that I live, like, literally on a almost daily basis. And so what is an appropriate punishment and what is not? My wife and I, we really don't utilize physical punishment a whole lot. Mm-hmm. We have, and we are not afraid to in the future. But we use mm-hmm. it as sparingly as possible.
Right.
But where we yep. use it, and I'll kind of go through that because, you know, we got to be careful and we don't want to harm our children first and foremost.
Yep.
And cause something that would get us or them or anyone else in trouble. But with that said, if my child is doing something that puts themselves in direct danger, like threat, like running yep. out into the street.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something where I'll use a small, you know, just pat on the rear, you know, with a stern voice or a loud clap of the hand. And what it does mm-hmm. is it shocks the sort of responsive part of their brain out of what they're currently doing and immediately focusing on me. And it also tells them the okay. severity of the situation. And so sort of that shock value, again, I'm not looking to inflict a whole lot of physical pain or any physical pain for that matter, but just the mm-hmm. awareness of the seriousness of the situation. Then, you know, there are times each child responds differently. My older son is a little bit more willful than my younger son when it comes to that. And so mm-hmm. I would have to oftentimes resort to other things, but that would be like severe punishments of like you run into the street, you're not, you know, you have to do this extended timeout that goes beyond what you're really comfortable with. So I just say it is utilizing things that fit to your child's personality. But we do spank, but we do it very sparingly, and we do it if the situation, we try to never do it from a place of anger or that would harm the child.
I want to be sure that everybody hears this, that my understanding has always been that if you were to ever do any kind of little bit of a physical punishment, that would all be out of the way by about the age of six if it ever yeah. needed yeah. to be done. But I want to tell you, I would like you to go from using the word punishment to the word restraint. When you have a child yeah. in a post office, a public place, and they run out, okay, mm-hmm. that first of all, I would say everything should change. You should inconvenience yourself. Everything stops. Take that child to the car, strap them in their seatbelt, in their car seat, and you drive home. And I would keep them in the car seat in the home for a little while until I had a discussion with them about you weren't able to restrain yourself from running out of the post office. It's a good thing I saw you because I was able to find you. You could have been gone. Someone could have taken you. And so I'm going to let you out of your car seat in here a few minutes when I'm sure that you're back in control of yourself and you can restrain yourself. Now, the next thing I would do is I would try to find an excuse to go back to the post office. And when I did, I would have my child totally restrained, you know, like these child leashes, you know. I would say, look,
yeah, we have one.
Okay, we walked in here before, you couldn't restrain yourself. Now look what I have to do. I have to use this so that you won't get away from me in the post office. So you were being treated like a 2.5-year-old. Now I have to treat you like a 1.5-year-old. We're going backwards mm-hmm. here. So I would be using all kinds of restraint, consequences, things like that mm-hmm. versus trying to get their attention with physical punishment. Mm-hmm. That's to me, there are just a lot of different things to do that truly present the issue, which yeah. the issue is if you can't restrain yourself, then I have to. Later on in life, I'm saying right. to my child, if my consequences don't alter your behavior, I have to send you to a boarding school in Ireland, and hopefully their consequences – their situation and their system will be able to help you restrain and transform mm-hmm. your behavior. And I really believe in that. You give the child the opportunity to respond to mm-hmm. you, and if they can't, then you have to bring in a higher power. Yeah. Sherry, anything you want to say on this?
You guys have been great. I think the only thing I would add to that, Emily, is a resource. Having worked with foster families who could not use any type of spanking or corporal punishment, there's a book called Love and Logic. And there are parents who love and swear by that resource because it helps to give you other tools you can use when you can't spank. And and so I always like the guys, go to the resource that I think is, you know, the most assured, but gives you some options there. And time ins, you know, being in a post office wouldn't be a good time to have a time in. But this idea of time out is kind of your child is in a room and you leave them to yourselves. But I used to use, when I was doing casework, I used to talk to families about using time ins where that child had to sit and touch your leg. You were sitting and they had to sit kind of next to you on the floor and they had to sit and do nothing, nothing fun, no reading, no talking, just sitting there for like 3 to 5 minutes. And it feels like torture for kids that have a lot of energy, but they're connected to you rather than learning to run away from you because of discipline, maybe out of fear or playing a game or whatever.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you called.
It's definitely a game.
And I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids.
Oh,
and
it's great.
It's a great book, and it'll help you, I think, develop some really strong, positive, healing, healthy attachment there. Really glad you called about that. It's a question that a lot of parents have. And, Sherry, most of the stuff that I was talking about came out of my reading of Love and Logic. I mean, it's just to parent with love and logic is it's kind of a rare thing. Usually it's either love or all logic, and you need them both.
And Emily just shared in the very last second, she said, well, yeah, it is a game. And both of you two, as parents, haven't you gone through a phase where your child is game playing with you? Run away, you know, and
They're testing the waters
all
the time.
Exactly.
And it's a way that they're trying to figure out the world. And I'm so glad that you brought up parenting with love and logic, because we go back to that all the time, because we don't want our children to purely rely on our ability to make decisions for them. Love and logic is this brilliant resource that helps children build their own proper decision-making process.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great resource.
Yep.
It's so much better to parent with love and logic than hate and disorder.
Absolutely.
Does not work. All right. Let's go over here and talk with Susan, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi. Good. Good. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening for quite a while now, and I've really picked up on some things that can probably help me in other areas.
Great.
One of the areas I'm having really a struggle with right now is I went through a divorce back in the 90s, early 90s, 90, 91.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter from that divorce, from that marriage that a marriage is never a one-sided thing, okay? I made my mistakes. He's made his mistakes, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I had two children from a previous marriage before I married him also, that it was a death situation. And we were all mentally abused by this person, okay? We just weren't good enough. You know, there were a lot of things that happened throughout that whole 8 years I was married to that person. But my daughter, who's 30 years old, 31 now, doesn't understand and know all the things that really happen. And I feel like she's making him like the big good guy and I'm the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, now she has a child. He's going to be a year old. And I've only seen him 4 times in his whole year. I feel sometimes like she's punishing me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, when they have birthday parties for him, it's going to be the whole family, okay? I do struggle with that because of the abuse I put up with him. I don't want to be around him anymore. I don't want to be around that situation. You know, I wasn't good enough. I was put down all the time. So were my children. And they feel the same way. They don't want to be around him. And I don't know how to deal with this stuff. I don't know how to...
You don't have to
I
celebrate.
I know I'm going to cry over this. You don't it really have does to upset me sometimes.
Yeah, you don't have to celebrate the birthday. of your grandchild with everybody else?
Well, she says I do.
Well,
she says I do. In other words, I either come or I don't come.
Okay, and so maybe
in other words,
you,
she's not going to have 2-3 birthday parties.
Well, but you, I mean, maybe you can just ask her if it'd be all right if you could just come over and spend some time. There's no party. You don't have to be at the party if it's that difficult for you. But the other thing is, I think that if you got some help here, you could resolve the issues with him, you know, in your mind, not between him, but you could resolve them enough, forgive him enough, accept him enough that you could enjoy even being around him.
Well, see, in the past, I've always had the issue with him, too, where, like I went to, my girls and I went to a different church. Well, then he started coming there. It's like he always has to be in my face. It's all he always has to be.
So I think
he's there.
All the more reason, I think you gotta deal with some stuff so that when he's in your space, you're detached from him. He is not able to push a button.
See, he
with
tells
you.
People he's still married to me.
Well, that's
because in his past church. There's no such thing as divorce, even though we're divorced.
Well, that's just
he's
still
married.
That's just a detail of strangeness that he's holding to there, but. We'll talk to you when we come back, hear from Sherry and Chris. And this concept of amused detachment is just fantastic, where you can see him doing the things that he does and not let it get you, but even be amused that he's still doing it.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done because during the day we had these workshops and we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Susan, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, so just imagine this, that you go to the birthday party. And your 31-year-old daughter is standing next to you, okay? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And here he comes. You glance at your daughter and you smile at her. And the smile indicates that he's probably going to do what he always does. Try to hook us in. Try to cause some kind of emotional response from us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes over. And he says, well, good to see the person I'm still married to, according to my church. You look at your daughter, you grin, and you whisper to her in front of him, there he goes. And you smile, and you don't react, and you just look at him, and you just smile. That's what we call amused detachment. You're no longer hooked when he does these strange things. You're just kind of amused that at his age, he's still doing them. And I would imagine the more you do that, the more you don't react, the less likely he's going to do it, because he doesn't get any satisfaction out of pushing the button and watching you react. But you got to do some work with a therapist. Now, let's get Chris's and Sherry's concept of this, or their perspective on this, because this is important to you. You want to be in the life of that grandson.
Absolutely. And I think the first thing to do, Susan, is you need to separate out your relationship with your daughter from her relationship with your ex-husband or your relationship with your ex-husband. He runs way too much interference, at least in your own mind and in your own heart. And so, but I see one of the hooks inside of you when it comes to the power that he has over you. You repeated two different times is that he made me feel not good enough.
Right.
I'm proposing today that he actually doesn't have that power and he never did. Right. That he would do something, and an old belief inside of you that you weren't good enough kept showing up. Now, every time you see him, it's a reminder of that same belief that not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, there was an instance one time where I took a friend. I had no intentions of dating this man. He was not a date to me. He was only a close friend because a group of us hung around together, and he was looking for another church. And I took him to church with me one time, and my ex at the time, he was my ex, he came up to my friend. I wasn't with him. I was somewhere else. And he came up to him, and he said to him, "Do you know what she did?" And my friend turned around and said to him, "What did you do?" And he walked away.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the kind of stuff he wants people to think, that I'm the bad guy.
But hold on.
Thinking that I made all the mistakes.
But, Susan, you've got to get out of that game.
Yep.
You understand? Yeah. You're not playing that game. He could believe that you're the bad guy, you know, until kingdom come. That's fine. You don't have any control or power over that. But you don't ever play into that, because you know the truth about yourself as something fundamentally different, and that you are a good, loving, faithful person, that you love your daughter, you love your family, you obviously love your grandchildren, and you're moving on with your life, and he doesn't have any say. Like, I'm talking zero say.
Right.
And how you feel, what you think, and how you operate your life.
Right.
The strings of his influence have been controlling you in some aspect or another since the early 90s. That's a long time.
Well, this goes on probably way before that, too, because when I was a little girl, I was abused.
Okay, but that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is he's still got you.
So you get into some counseling, you get into some therapy, and someone to guide you along on how to cut those strings of his influence and power over you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do I build the relationship with my daughter now? Because she wants to go to counseling, but I'm afraid to go because I know everything's my fault. And she's been so influenced by him, too, growing up.
No.
Well, what a great place to deal with that. Well, what a great place to deal with that with a trained professional.
So Susan, let me go right after this. By you already having that thought, you already placed yourself in the game.
Okay.
By you saying, "Hey, it's already all my fault." Like, oh no. If you go in there with that mindset, you're right. You're setting yourself up. But a trained therapist will be able to help you see through that as well.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
I mean, he sent her home one time from visitation, and she walked in the door, and the first thing she said to me was, "Daddy says it's mommy's fault the family's not together anymore."
Well, of course.
She doesn't remember him telling her that, but I do.
Yeah. Well, and that's what power, an abuse of power and control looks like, is somebody is always thinking about how they can gain more control over the situation or the relationship. It really comes out of a deep woundedness in him. My thought is, I bet you he grew up in a perfectionistic family, probably has an abandoning mom or a mom that he could never please. And so he has some attachment stuff that's going on. But what he does is he reenacts that today. So my hunch is, you know, you had three girls, right? Two of them came from a former marriage?
Previous deceased husband. Yeah. And two daughters from this marriage.
And you know what? They didn't feel as special as she felt because he gave your daughter that you shared together more attention. Your daughter, he's aligned with her. He has preferred her. And for a wife, there can be some crazy making in that because, hey, I'm in a relationship. You're supposed to partner with me. Mm-hmm. But he's got this idealized, unhealthy attachment that is somewhat made the relationship look and go sideways. And so Chris was right. You need to separate their relationship out from yours.
We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. When I was growing up, Susan, are you still there?
Yes.
There was a song, kind of popular. Here's how it went. You don't own me. I'm not just one of your little toys. And you can't sing that song because he owns you, and I don't want him to. He does not deserve to have 1 inch of real estate in your head. And he's got too much. And you've got stories about him. I mean, you're just ready to pop those right out of there because he's so much in your head. You got to do some work here. Sherry, what do you think here?
Yeah, so, and I totally agree with you, Steve. What happens with people like this is they set up something called a good-bad split. And your daughter, he makes all good. She feels all good, and that's why he's her hero. But then you end up in this all-bad place. But then for you, you're going, hey, this doesn't feel fair. It's like you're trying to equal the playing field by getting her to see the truth of who he is. And he's not even in reality himself because he goes all good. Yes, this is still my wife. It's another form of good-bad split, and it keeps you stuck in this crazy triangle. And so learning to step out of that by doing what Steve says in that song, it's he doesn't own you. You have to develop a relationship with your daughter separate. You're going to have to let go of having everybody on your team. Your daughters, your earlier two other daughters see the reality of who he is. But because he's idealized her, she can't see it right now. You're going to have to let that go. The more you try to tell him that he's the bad man, you guys will polarize. Mm-hmm. You and your daughter will get on opposite teams. Let that go. And start focusing in solely on a relationship with her. If you have bad feelings about him when you go, then work on what Steve talked about, that amused attachment. Begin to realize he doesn't have a lot of power in his life. That's why he's going to make everybody take on these roles. But the more you become disaffected by him, he won't be able to yank your chain anymore. As long as he can yank your chain, he will.
Right.
So you have power. You just need to take it back. And that's why Steve's going to send you the book, Take Your Life Back.
It's coming your way.
Because we all three voted. That would be the book for you.
No, it's going to be a great book.
Thank you, because I was actually going to send for that book. So I thank you very much for it. I thank you.
You are welcome.
Because I do need to take my life back. I left him control my life too long.
Yep.
That's what we think.
And my daughter is doing the same thing, even with her little boy. It's like, I can't even buy him Christmas gifts. It has to come off of her list. It has to be a list of stuff she wants me to get for him.
Yeah. So we're going to help you get free, and you're going to lead the way to your daughter getting free also. You know, if you feel like you are under the influence, not of alcohol, but of Al or Bob or Lisa, another person, if that's who you're under the influence of and it's not healthy, let us help you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We will help you. Hey, listen, here's a story. Listen to this. Dear Steve, the New Life Ministry team, like so many, I've been affected in such a profound way by your ministry. I first learned of New Life through a Christian friend who is a Club New Life member about 15 years ago, and the love, care, compassion, wisdom, counsel, and humor that each of you share with your listeners is like water to a dry and thirsty land. As I begin to type this sentence, I find my emotions rising to the surface because the role that you and your radio host played in my journey of continued healing and growth, it's been so significant, so meaningful, that I can only imagine where I'd be in this process without all of you. Between listening to your shows live and through the podcast and the Club New Life CDs, I always learn something about myself, God, or healthy relating. Had I called in where you were on live, I would have expressed my love and gratitude to all of you with emotion because I am moved to tears when I think of how the Lord has used you all and your resources in my life. So as a single woman, I've enclosed a check for $1,000.
Wow.
I've never made a donation to any organization for an amount of this size, and I'd like to say I didn't wrestle with the Lord over it. But if there was ever a ministry I believed in, it's New Life Ministries. I'm joining you all in prayer that many more will respond and your financial needs will be met. May God continue to bless each of you and use this ministry to bring new life to a hurting world. We don't have much time. We don't have many days left, ladies and gentlemen. We need your help. And when you're helping us, it's just you're providing a way for us to use your resources to reach people that need help. You're our partner. We can't do it without you. If you can help us, would you call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and help us? There's a matching gift up to $40,000 can be matched. And before we go to this call, I just want to play this clip by Steve. He's saying why he supports New Life. Listen to Steve.
I was really living a very anxiety filled life for a number of years, but it was getting to the point where I really needed help, and I actually prayed about it. And the very next day, I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening to the show on that particular day, I got relief. I'm a frequent viewer of TV.NewLife. I did go to Take Your Life Back, and that's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, and with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Isn't that great? So you folks that have supported us, that's your phone call. That's your story. This is your letter. It's to you, people being grateful. You did it. You're part of their transformation. And I thank you for wanting to be part of it. And if you want to help us in 2018, our 30th anniversary, would you call us right now and help us? We'll match the gift, or somebody will match that gift. 1-800 New Life. That's the number. Right now, let's go to Donna from Hamilton, Ontario. Listens on Sirius XM. So, hi there, Donna. How you doing? How's it going?
Good, thanks. You?
Yeah. How can we help you today?
Okay. So my question is, I've gotten a diagnosis earlier this month, and it's serious, and I don't really know what Christmas will look like next year. And so what I'm wondering is if I should tell, my husband knows, but I don't know if we should tell our adult children.
Why wouldn't you tell them? What would be the advantage of not telling them?
Well, I guess just to protect them. I don't want to ruin their Christmas, holidays, New Year's, it's happy news.
Are they immature adult children?
I don't think so.
Well, then I think you better tell them and let them deal with it share the journey with them. I would be upset if my mother had a horrible medical condition and she didn't share that with me. I would be so sad that I didn't have the opportunity to come alongside her. What do you guys think?
I'm in agreement. I think I would feel like, why didn't my mom tell me when she found out? It would almost make me feel like a little kid rather than her treating me like a responsible adult who can handle it. They're going to feel pain. You're going to feel pain. But keeping it from them, one of the first questions they will ask you is, when did you find out? So they will go back to that date on the calendar and wonder why you didn't tell them every day. They'll just go, well, didn't you trust me? Why wouldn't you have let us know this? So I'm all for tell them. Don't worry about the holidays. Think more about you and them and this diagnosis that you got.
Chris, your thoughts here.
It just piggybacks on that, and that is I actually glad you guys answered first, because it's like, well, could she wait till January 2nd to do this, or but I thought about it this way. We deal with a lot of situations where people have to break very difficult news or make very difficult decisions, and I think we're all waiting for the right time. And what I tell people is that there is never the right time. The only right time is right now. And especially if time is limited, one way or the other, I was like, yes, the only good time to let your children know is right now.
But I'll tell you when not to tell them. Don't tell them over Christmas dinner.
There are some discernment here. Yeah.
Tell them before. Tell them before, so when they see you this holiday, they have a chance to see you with eyes that are really grateful for today.
Yeah, I think that's right. They can prepare themselves, and you don't have the big shock moment there. That's a good thing.
Okay.
And sometimes when there's bad news, a change of pace for whatever you were going to do on Christmas sometimes helps. I know when my father died, we did something different that year. We didn't just do the same thing, and it was so helpful. Sometimes a change of place can help. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dear New Life, in India, I learned a phrase, live in peace, not in pieces. That's my new motto. Thank you for your ministry to us. I found myself in pieces 6 weeks ago, and if it wasn't for New Life Ministries, I would have been another suicide statistic.
Wow.
My perfect world completely collapsed, and I had nowhere to turn in my new community. Your call center staff were amazing, and for the next 2 days, I experienced peace. I believe someone at New Life was praying for me. I want to give regularly so that more people will be saved. Those folks that gave last year, you saved her life. And if you want to be part of saving somebody's life in this next year, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? We'll send you Take Your Life Back. It has helped so many people. So please, please call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. LIFE. All right, let's go to Vavret, I believe it is, from Washington, D.C. Is that right, Vavret? Is it Vavret? Is that the name? Is that the way you pronounce it?
Yes.
Great.
That's fine. Yes.
How could we help you today?
Okay. Actually, I've been listening to your program for many, many years. My husband wanted to encourage me to start listening to the program. But I want to make sure that I'm setting the right boundaries for my parents.
Okay.
And the boundaries that I've set for them, I just decided just this year, this whole year here, I did not, I'm not going to say honor them. I'm going to say I did not call my mom and say Happy Mother's Day, nor send them a gift that what I've been doing for life, you know, forever.
Yeah.
I'm from Georgia, and I live in the Washington, D.C. area. And okay. The same way with their birthday. I didn't call them this year and say happy birthday, nor send them anything. And the same thing with Father's Day. Didn't say
Why was that?
Nor did I send anything.
Why was it? Why did you not do that?
Because of the track record that my mother had been setting and stuff like that. And my husband had noticed it over 20 years ago. And he told me, he said, baby, he said, if you don't be careful, your mother's going to destroy your relationship with all your siblings. And she's going to be the only one that in a relationship with them. And you're going to be left out here alone. But I didn't believe that. And I got kind of angry with him. But then once I started going to my church, one of the deacons had mentioned the same thing to me.
Wow.
He said, your mother's been doing what she's been doing all her life. It's just that you're sensitive in the spirit now and won't tolerate it. But now, whenever I give her a gift for Mother's Day, I turn around and do the same thing for him for Father's Day. Same thing for birthdays for both of them, right? But she would always complain and cry that I don't treat her right. You know, you're because of what we give him. And I'm like, but I'm giving you the same thing.
Okay.
Maybe I should wrap your gift.
All right. So how could we help you?
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm setting the right boundaries for them. But because whatever I give him, she would cry and he would give it to her. So basically, like, he's not really getting the gift because he turned it over and give it to her, which is fine. So I just say, you know what? I just take my hand off of it. And what made me really decide to take my hand off of it, because one of me and my siblings got married on my wedding day.
Yeah.
She never would say happy anniversary to me. Whenever I say it to her, nothing. She just won't honor it. But me and her had an email conversation, and my mother called and screamed and yelled at me and said, if you would have had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? And my husband said, that's the last straw.
Okay. All right, let's hear what Sherry has to say. Sherry, what do you think when you hear this kind of stuff here? Wow.
Well, I am sorry, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really painful. It sounds like you have a mom that's never satisfied.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And she sounds a little bit, I'm probably dating myself right now, but she sounds a little bit like the Pac-Man game. You know, those Pac-Man, that video game where it would just kind of gobble up all those dots and there was no end. She just wants more and more. It just sounds like a really empty soul.
Yeah.
So my concern is, and I know where I have limited time, is it sounds like you've gone to complete cutoff to try to have some boundaries around her bad behavior. And so that would be the only thing I would have you take a look at, because boundaries don't necessarily mean cutoff, because then we start to feel bad about, not honoring them. But there definitely needs to be a change. Chris, do you have any thoughts about how to have boundaries and still have contact?
Yeah, I think the first thing is I'm actually going to say, you're right. She is cut off. So, Vivrette, you've cut off your mom, and I think that that's a good choice for right now because it doesn't matter. You could give her the world or you could take away the world. It's not going to change her at all. Now, in this, I want you to then consider, who do I want to be? What kind of daughter do I want to be? And you're going to be that daughter regardless of how she responds or reacts to you. So if you want to go and say Happy Mother's Day, and the boundary could be like, hey, Mom, just call and say Happy Mother's Day and want you to know that I'm thinking of you, love you, hope you have a great day, goodbye. Like, that could be it. And she could do whatever she wants with that. And that is this. You're going to be the person that you want to be. You're going to be the daughter that you want to be. And it's not going to be contingent upon her issues and her pain and her dysfunction.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time. I hope that that is helpful to you. Boundaries don't have to be walls. They can just be boundaries. And we can still allow people a space in our lives, but maybe not the kind of space that they've had before. Here's a wonderful letter from Martha from Indiana. She says, I love your ministry. You guys have been such a blessing to my life. You've helped shape my spiritual walk. Please accept this donation. It's not much. It's $100. But for so long, I wanted to give to your ministry and did not have it, or had it and didn't. It never crossed my mind to give it. Thank you, Steve and the gang, for allowing God to touch people such as myself, helping us to move from the pit to the palace and encouraging us to trust God when we cannot trace him. All of you are doing an excellent job. Keep up the good work. Thank you for this. Hey, if you want to help us help others, and we can't do it without you, would you just call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I hope it'll be a great blessing to you. But you guys, we're partners with folks, and without the folks, we have no partnership, and we have no way to reach other people. But you've seen us. You've seen what happens to people when they come to a workshop. You see what happens when people walk into your office. Don't you think it's kind of amazing that a person can hear radio, come to you, and a year later, that person is a different human being.
Well, it made me think of the verse in Psalm 40, from the pit to the palace. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. What we do at New Life is we're just trying our best and earnest way to respond with God to people's cry, to lead them to him, and in very tangible solutions to take people out of the pit and put them on a firm, solid grounding.
Yeah. So if you want out of the pit, you call us. If you want to help us get some people out of the pit, you just call us. And we'll say thank you with a Take Your Life Back book. I think this is probably the last program we'll do, the three of us here. And I want to thank you, Chris, and thank you, Sherry, for all that you have done here in 2017. And I'm looking forward to being with you in this brand new year, which is it's our 30th anniversary year.
That's so
awesome.
And
I'm hoping and praying that people will respond with this amazing challenge. It's a matching gift up to $40,000, but you have to postmark that gift by December the 31st and send it to us. You can find out all about how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Have a great day, everybody. We love you. We thank you for supporting transformation of the human soul. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.